All right. Well, good morning, everybody. I want to go ahead and get started here. Bow with me, if you will, please, in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we bless you for your word and for this opportunity that we may gather together and that we may unpack your truths. Lord, we pray that you would reveal your word to us. Lord, we pray that you would show us our need for your word on a daily basis, and that our desire, Lord, would be to be in your word on a daily basis, Lord, that you would grow us and show us the truths that you have for us, Lord, and the promises that have been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would be with us this morning. I pray that you would open our minds and open our hearts to the majesty of Christ, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. We are finally in Psalm 119 this morning. So we have quite a... I am going to do it all at once, Ben. So I'm going to do my best to get through everything in a timely manner and cover everything the best I can. All right. So this morning we're going to be looking at 176 verses. From what I've been able to find, the author of this chapter is unknown. But we see the great love for the Lord and for his statutes, commandments, and precepts. Different scholars have suggested that the psalm was written by different folks, from David to Daniel to Ezra, even Jeremiah. This is the longest chapter in the Bible. It is also the longest psalm. The emphasis is primarily on the Word of God and how it ministers to the inner spiritual life of God's children. The theme of the psalm is the practical use of God's Word for the believer. This psalm is an acrostic form, and it contains 22 sections. Each section has 8 lines. Now, the successive sections follow the Hebrew alphabet, and other than the acrostic form, the psalm doesn't have any other outline. Now, what you're going to see in this psalm... What's that? Yes, an eight-line stanza. Absolutely. Yes, so in English, Ben reminded us that this is called a sonnet, each 8-line stanza. So what you're going to see in this psalm is 22 different sections relating to the same thing. What we're going to do this morning, time permitting, is go through each of these 22 sections, and you will hear the differences and the similarities in each section. Now, each section will have 8 different terms that are being used referring to God's revelation. The terms, not necessarily in order, are going to be as follows. The first one you'll hear is law. You're going to hear testimonies. You're going to hear precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, the word, and ordinances. I'll go over those at the end again if you didn't catch those. So law, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, word, and ordinances. So as we go through each of these, see if you can dig those out and see what you can hear and see what you can find. But when we get to the end, we're going to summarize all of this. And as we go through these different sections, pay attention to what you're hearing. You're going to hear the same thing different ways, but listen to what the psalmist is teaching us and listen to the things that he struggles with. Listen to the things that he boasts about in the Lord. Listen to his behavior, the way he walks, these kinds of things. So as we go through these stanzas, try to dig those out. All right. So in the first 8, verses 1 through 8, we see the psalmist talks about the one who walks in the way of the Lord and the law of the Lord. Those people are blameless. People who delight in the Lord do the things that he has called his people to do. So people are referred to as blessed when they keep his testimonies and when they seek after him with their whole heart. Verse 3 talks about those who do no wrong, but they walk according to the ways God has commanded us to walk. Now, God's commandments and precepts have been kept diligently by that type of man, and his ways are steadfast regarding God's statutes. In that day, the one who keeps God's statutes and who delights to walk in his ways and diligently hold on to God's commands, that man will not be put to shame because his eyes have been fixed upon God's commandments. And when we're able to praise God with an upright heart, we learn of his righteous rules, and then are we able to keep his statutes. So this doesn't mean that we'll essentially attain a life of sinless perfection, in no way. Okay, it means that we will, without a shadow of a doubt, that we must keep short accounts with the Lord in order not to fall in the ditch on either side of us. So as we are growing in grace, we need to remind ourselves to constantly stay in God's word, because there is a ditch on either side that we are so easily prone to fall into. So that man who is in God's word knows that the Lord will not forsake him. And because the Lord will not forsake him, he knows that he is able to hold on to the Lord, and his truths are promised, or his promises are true. In the next section, verses 9 through 16, this begins by asking an important question. How can a young man keep his way pure? Well, the only way for a young man to keep his way pure is for him to keep his purity and to guard it according to God's word. That's the only way one can do that. We see in the scripture that the word way is used referring to people's hearts. So many times we see Old Testament kings being referred to as a king who did what was right in his own eyes. This means that that type of king or a person is one who delights in their own way. Okay, so if you do what is right according to you, then that means you delight in whatever you say and what you suggest is right. And we're not holding on to the promises of the Lord. So God has called us to guard our way, and he's called us to guard our way according to his word, in order that we may see our life through the lens of scripture. And when we're able to do that, we are able to seek the Lord with our whole heart. When we truly look at our lives through the lens of scripture and we hold ourselves accountable to that, we are able to walk in his way. Let's see. All right. So, yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Ben brought up the point that the last verse in this stanza, I will keep your statutes, do not utterly forsake me, in verse 8, is because he knows that he can't keep God's statutes in and of himself. And that's exactly right, because we too know our own lives, right? We know ourselves better than others. And so we know, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we're our biggest, we're the biggest obstacle that's in our life when it comes to growing in God's grace. But praise God, he said he would build his church. That's comforting. So this is a man who is desiring to keep his way pure before the Lord because he desires to be like God. Now, it's not a negative view. It's not like King Nebuchadnezzar, I will ascend to be as the Most High. No, this is a man who understands that he needs the Lord. And the reason he understands that is because he has new desires, and they have been changed from lustful desires of his own heart and no longer seeks after his own will. So the direction that is being given here, see, these commandments, sometimes we look at them in a negative way. We look at it from a humanistic standpoint, and we look at it as though that someone is telling us something that we have to do, and we don't want to do it. So we need to remember that when God converts a person and gives someone a new heart, we now have new affections. So our old affections that we used to have aren't the pinnacle of what we desire now. Yes, we still fall into sin, and that's why he's talking to us about keeping our way guarded against our own hearts and to be doing the things that the Lord has called us to do. So the best thing that we can do in order to overcome these struggles or get through the struggles the best way that we can, the best thing that we can do is memorize God's word so that it becomes an overflowing of our own storehouse. So think of yourself as a storehouse where they would go, and during all the times of gatherings and the harvest and those kind of seasons. Well, think of yourself as a storehouse, and you're storing up the Lord's word in your storehouse. And we want to do that so that we have an overflowing of God's word that just pours out of us. Our desire ought to be that we would have an overabundance of God's word hidden in our heart, stored in there, that we might be able to demonstrate rightly who God is to other people, and in doing so that we may not sin against the Lord. He's basically reiterating to the Lord that the Lord is blessed, and that he desires to learn God's statutes and to be blessed himself. He says that my lips will declare all the truth of your mouth, meaning that he wants God to give him his mouth so that he can speak God's tongue to bless the nations and to bless the nations by the richness of God's own words. So a man who's desiring to have God's own mouth or God's own tongue, so to speak, in order that he too would speak the same way that God speaks, this is what the psalmist is declaring here. So our delight ought to be the fullness and the richness of God's testimonies, because they are true. And this is why he says that he will meditate upon God's precepts and he will fix his eyes on God's ways. He wants to know the way to go, and the only true and right way is that of the Lord. Because he goes on to say that his delight is even in the statutes that God has provided and established, and he will not forget God's word. So this is just a believer here who is really holding himself accountable to what do you really believe? And I think this is applicable to us too, because we go around and say things all the time, and we have a theology, but do we walk out that theology? I'm not saying we don't believe it, but do we believe it? I find myself in that situation sometimes, saying I trust the Lord, but then I walk in a way that demonstrates that I don't, right? And so we need to be held accountable by God's word, and we need to keep close, have close accounts with the Lord so that we don't waver from him. Verses 17 and 24, the true heart of a faithful servant is one whose desire is to keep the word of his master. Again, his desire is to be able to see and behold the wondrous things of God's law. See, the way he talks is very different to the way that we would normally think. Because an unconverted person doesn't want to sit here and follow the speed limit. Well, I mean, I speed too. But my point is, people who are under the law do not like the law. But because Jesus has fulfilled the law, we no longer look at the law as a taskmaster or as something that is negative to us, but we look at it as something that is guiding to us. It is a comfort to us. It's helpful to us. So I think that's important that we remember that God's law is good and that it is something to be desired. So the psalmist knows that there's truths beyond understanding, and these are joys beyond sorrow, and there is newness where death once dwelt. He has an understanding that his time on earth is short and only for a little while. He knows that he is a sojourner, and he knows this is not his forever home. And therefore, he desires that the Lord would reveal himself through his commandments, because his soul is consumed with a longing for God's rules always. Always. So those who wander from the commandments of God are referred to as cursed ones. And those who are insolent will receive his righteous rebuke. He boasts in the Lord that the Lord has helped him to keep God's testimonies. And in this, he knows that the Lord is faithful to remove all scorn and contempt from him, because he is a faithful servant. Now, he knows that even though that he is evil, or that the evil people stand against him, and those that in power deride him and plot against him, even though it may seem as though that all hell is falling down upon him, he will delight and meditate upon the statutes of the Lord his God, for his testimonies are his delight and they are his counselors. So when everything is falling down upon you, run to the Lord. He is our refuge. In 25 to 32, the psalmist knows the origin of his life. He understands that he is nothing more than dust. In one day he shall return to dust, but he desires that the Lord would grant unto him life according to God's word, and his desire is to learn implicitly the statutes of God. He further asks God to make him understand the way of the Lord's precepts so that he can meditate upon the wondrous works of the Lord. He understands that his time is temporal and he is fading away, and therefore he says that his soul melts for the sake of sorrow. He pleads with the Lord to strengthen him according to his word, understanding the sinfulness of his own heart. And that separates him from God, but he desires that the Lord would put away those false things and that entice him, and that the Lord would help to keep him near to him and graciously teach him his law as he chooses the way of faithfulness, and as he chooses to put God's rules before his face, as his body clings to the dust, his desire is for the Lord, and his testimonies shall not be put to shame. Why? Well, because God has given him the ability to hold fast and to cling to the testimonies of the Lord. His desire is to compete and persevere and to run in the way of God's commandments when God grants increase to his heart. I think that's something for each of us, because every day we are growing in grace. It may not seem that we are doing that, but when the Lord begins something new in a person, he will finish it. And so every day he is working in our lives. Verses 33 to 40. He begins with the steadfast love of the Lord. A couple weeks ago, we talked about a word called chesed, and that is referred to as the steadfast love of the Lord. And then we also referred to a word called emet, which has to do with God's truthfulness. So keep those thoughts in mind as well. So he is reminded of the Lord and his great love, and he is desiring that God would allow that love to come onto him according to the promise. And when that happens, he is able to rebuke those who taunt him, because he is able to trust in God's word fully. It is often easy to say that we trust God and that we believe God, but when the trials and the storms of life come along in these massive waves that knock us over, seems like, do we really trust his word? I mean, when you're in a fight, when you're in the fire, do you trust the Lord fully? And so this is just something for each of us to chew on a little bit. So as you, throughout your week, do I trust the Lord? Am I trusting the Lord? What does that look like? How do I apply that? Good things to consider. So I believe that when we truly know the Lord, we know his steadfast love, we know that he is going to take care of us because he's faithful and his word is true, and he will not go back on his promises. That would mean he's not God. The psalmist asks the Lord to take the truth from his mouth because he hopes in God's word and in his rules. Many times we look at rules, again, as a negative connotation or something that we don't want to do. But he understands that the rules and the reason for the rules, and by understanding the purpose behind the rules, we can better understand these laws and commandments are in place for our good. And that's why he says, I will keep your law continually, because he understands that God's righteous rules are excellent in his life. So, he wants to keep his laws forever. And he says that because of this, he shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. When we walk upon God's word, we hold fast to his foundations. There is no surer foundation than that foundation of our great God. Now, because of these truths, he will also speak of God's testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. Now, why is that he is able to do that? Because kings do not have words that will stand against God. Right? So many times prophets had spoken to different kings, and these kings who were wicked kings, they couldn't have a word that stood up against these prophets, because God's word is sure and it'll never fail. So he finds delight in the commandments of the Lord and he loves them. And why does he love them? Because they are God's word. And they are God's truths. And they are promises upon which we build our entire lives. and upon which eternity, furthermore, eternity stands upon the truth of God. We see that he loves the commandments and he loves the word of God so much that he says he lifts up his hands toward your commandments, that the commandments he loves, and he meditates upon God's statutes. So I hope we're seeing a theme here. We're getting the same idea over and over again in eight verses continually. Verses 49 to 56, our hope only is in the Lord. And it is good to recite back to the Lord the promises that God has made and that he has sworn by himself. He says, remember your word to your servant in which you have made me to hope. That's this comforting verse. He continues, this is my comfort in my affliction that your promises give me life. So many times again, we feel as though everything is falling down upon us. But the Lord is the one who is protecting and keeping us. He is the one who protects, and he is the one who hides us from the insolent who utterly deride us. But because God is always with us, we know that we have his strength and we can feel him as we go through the turmoil, and we're thankful that he's there because he helps us in our burdens. Because of these things, we know the insolent are going to deride us. And they're always going to turn away from the Lord, and they're always going to hate God's law. We know that. So we need to understand that and not worry about why they are mistreating you. That's what the world does. They hated Jesus. They killed Jesus. They hate you. They're going to do the same things towards us. All right. And why do we desire to know more of God's law? Well, it's because we love it. He says he takes comfort in the rules of old that God has prescribed and ordained. He hates those who forsake God's law. He hates the wicked. He hates those who rebel against the Lord and his law. He hates the people that stand against God and his statutes and against his word. It is exhausting to him, but he says that God's statutes have been his songs in the house of his sojourning in a difficult time while he is away from his king, his true king. His joy has come from God's commandments and from God's precepts in the darkness that he is dealing with. His joy has come from the precepts of God in his distress. He remembers the Lord in the night and he is able to keep his law. He is overwhelmed with thankfulness to the Lord, for the Lord has granted him the gift of keeping his precepts, and he refers to that as a blessing. So, in verses 57 to 64, think back that they're in a time where every day there was a challenge to get their daily fill of food, right? It's not like us. We have HEB or whatever we can go to. They didn't have that. And so, the psalmist says that the Lord is his portion. His fill comes from the Lord. Everything that he needs, everything that his body requires, all that his life needs for sustenance is found in the Lord. And that's why he says he promises to keep his words. And he asks the Lord to be gracious to him according to his promise, because he treats God's he loves God's word. And he desires for the Lord to be exalted above all things. And when he thinks about God and he meditates on his ways, he immediately is rejuvenated. I mean, do some of you find that too? I know that if I'm struggling with something, I know that sometimes I just need to stop. I need to be still. I need to be quiet. I need to wait. And these are all things that God has called us to do. We need to be still and know that he is God. We are called to wait upon the Lord. So all these things that we need to do, this is what the psalmist is reiterating to us. And I love how he does it 22 times, but he just says it to us differently. So, when we greatly desire and hasten to follow God's precepts, and when we follow in his directions, we are never going to be wrong. Because God's ways are always true. It doesn't mean that we are not led through difficult roads at times. But those roads are only difficult for us. They're not difficult for the Lord. The reason they are difficult for us is because He is walking us through this thing called life. And this is a difficult thing that we go through. It's a fallen world. And as we go through these difficulties, He's making us more like Jesus as we go. Now, this doesn't mean that the cords of the wicked will not ensnare you. It does not mean that we will not endure difficult times, but it does mean that I do not forget God's laws. He says at midnight that He rises to praise God, and why does He do that? He does this because God's righteous rules are so precious to Him, and He desires to know them, and He gets up in the middle of the night to remember the Lord and to call upon God and remind God of who He is and how wonderful of a companion He is and how great are His precepts. It's almost as a friend or a companion of all who fear the Lord will keep His ways. He boasts and exclaims that the earth, that the Lord's steadfast love would encompass the earth. He desires that the Lord would teach Him His statutes. Do we continually boast in the Lord for what He does and for who He is? I think many times we get caught up and we pray and we thank the Lord or we ask the Lord for things. Give me peace or give me this or give me that. And those are good. Or give me a better job or help me with my health. Those are good. But all those things pass away. And so the more that we desire to have Jesus, that's what it's about. Do we desire to have Him? You have to remember that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. But thanks be to God that He comes after us. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. I think this verse speaks well to parents and children. Now, I don't have children, but I understand God's word and I can read it. And so we need to be disciplining our children. We need to be applying the Board of Education to the seed of knowledge, as it was taught to me as a child. And when I didn't understand something, I was going to get some attention. And we need that. The Lord does that to us. We have to remember that the Lord disciplines those whom He loves so that we will not be condemned along with the world in judgment. The Lord is good and He does good. Therefore, we should learn of His goodness and His statutes. Like us, we are continually bombarded by those who persecute us and those who deride us and all those around us who want us to fail. The psalmist dealt with the same thing. The Lord Jesus dealt with the same thing. These people constantly smear our names with all kinds of evil, but we must remember with our whole heart that we love the precepts of the Lord. And so is it more important to go win an argument with someone, or is it more important to extend grace and to allow the Lord to work in their lives? So verse 71 says that it is good that I was afflicted. And why is it good to be afflicted? Well, he says, it's good to be afflicted that I might learn your statutes. He says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. This is absolutely true. In order for us to be changed, we need to have something outside of us change us. We need to be made different. I think we need to learn to embrace affliction and persecution and difficulty, because that's exactly what Jesus did. He embraced those things. He had to embrace those things because this world is fallen and it's broken and it's full of evil. And this is why the Lord Jesus needed to come, because of His goodness and His love and His kindness and His unwillingness to let His people go astray. Verses 73 to 80, the psalmist addresses God's creatorship by referring to the Lord's hands having been made the one who fashioned Him. It's also right to ask the Lord for understanding that we may learn more of His commandments, because this is encouraging to others who fear the Lord. Because when they see the turmoil in which you are going through, they will rejoice because they will see that you have hoped in God's word. So isn't it amazing that when other believers are dealing with difficulty, you see God's work in their lives, and it's encouraging to you because you see God working in them. And I think that's what he's talking about here. So, this man understands the grind of the life of the believer. As an athlete, there is a certain grind you have to go through, and it's not fun. And that grind is you do the same thing over and over and over and over and over every day, and over and over and over. And like a crazy person, you keep returning to that, and it's difficult. You have to push your body, and you have to beat your body into submission, and you blood, sweat, and tears, and it's hard, and you don't want to, but every day you go back to it, you go back to it, you go back to it. To me, that's a way that I can relate to God's word. It's hard. It's hard to walk this walk. But every day we go back to it because it's good for us. And the Lord has brought us out of something, and we recognize that. So as an athlete, you have to go through these difficulties. And other people who don't go through the same thing you go through don't understand. They don't even have a concept. So unbelievers have no concept of the suffering that believers go through. They have no concept of it. It is such a wonderful and blessed thing to be the child of a king. Now, relating back to the athlete has to be willing to put their body through extreme difficulty in order to succeed. And there's a fine line between failure and victory. I mean, you can think of football. You're trying to score a touchdown, and you can be at the goal line, and you're 1 inch from the goal line, and the game's over, and you lose. But we keep going. We keep practicing. We keep doing those things because we know that if we keep working hard, we can get through that, and we can excel. Well, the same thing in this. We know that God's word is true. And we know that in physical things, our bodies fail. But God is unable to fail. And so that's why we put our trust in him, because he's eternity and zero. He's never lost. So every single thing that he's ever done, he's won. So this man has been afflicted by other people, but yet his desire is that the Lord would change him and that he would have a strong desire to meditate upon God's precepts even through the difficulty. His desire is that his heart would be blameless according to God's statutes and that he would not be put to shame. Verses 81 to 88, I believe all those who love the Lord desire full salvation because we hope in God's word. He says that his eyes long for your promise. He asks, when will you comfort me? The section shows sadness and a time in a valley for the psalmist. He's seeking comfort and almost feels dried up, but he says that he has not forgotten the statutes of the Lord. He says that his enemies have set traps for him, but they don't love the Lord and they don't live according to the law. And they don't abide by God's precepts and his commandments. And then he says, Lord, how long must I endure this? It kind of sounds like the Apostle John. How long, O Lord? So it seems as though they've made or are making an attempt to make an end of him on the earth. But he says that he has not forgotten the Lord's precepts. He sounds like a person who's dried up. He sounds like he needs the living water. He cries out into the steadfast love of the Lord that the Lord may give him life and that he may keep the testimonies of the Lord's mouth. This soul is dried up and seeming close unto death. It seems as though nothing around him can revive him or bring him back to life, but he knows the steadfast love of the Lord is his life. And he knows that the Lord is the living water, and that is why he is able to keep the testimonies of God's mouth. So this morning, anybody feel dried up? Feel like you need some water in you? Well, that's who Jesus is. He's our living water. And these verses are encouraging. And if you're in a tough place today and you don't feel very encouraged, well, run to Him. It may not sound like the right thing to do or the best thing to do or the thing you want to do, but do it anyway because it's good for us. It's good for us. In verses 89 to 96, God's word is eternal. He says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is fixed in the heavens. We have heard and we have read, though the heavens and the earth will pass away, not one word of the Lord will ever pass away. The Lord is faithful, and the reason He is faithful to all generations is because He has established His faithfulness in the earth, and He has sworn that by Himself when? Before the foundations of the world. God has done these things. And before then, before the foundations of the world, God was perfect then, and He's perfect now, and He'll always be perfect. He was just then, He's just now, and He'll always be just. The Lord is eternal, His word is eternal, and therefore He will endure. God's faithfulness cannot change, it will not change, because He cannot change. Every single thing that exists on the earth today and right now, as I declare this to you, all things stand this day because of God's appointment." And why is that? Well, it's because everything belongs to the Lord. So, he says it's a blessing to delight in the law of the Lord. He said that had the law not been his delight, he would have perished in his affliction. I can stand before you here today and tell you that it's a blessing to be disciplined by the Lord. It's not fun, but it's a blessing, and it's good. It's a greater blessing to remember his precepts and to know him. And the reason that is the greatest blessing is because through his word, we've been given life. There's life in his word. So I agree with him. I am yours. Save me. For I have kept your precepts. Again, the wicked will always lie, and they lie in wait to destroy us. But how do we overcome the enemy? We remember and we consider the testimonies and the surety and faithfulness of the Lord. Everything in life at some point or another has failed or will fail. Everything in life at some point comes to an end. Life itself will end. Whether we like it or not, at some point, every single person we know will fail us in some way or another. But the word of the Lord shall never fail. It shall endure forever because like the Lord, the word does not change because the word is eternal. So verses 97 to 104. At what point are we able to say that we love the Lord's law? Do we meditate it all day long? This isn't a way of me asking, have you checked that box today? Have you meditated enough on the Lord? Have you prayed enough? No. The question simply is, do we love His law? Period. I know for certain believers, they do love the law of the Lord, because it is which drives our life. Now, not everybody understands that. In other words, it is the word of the Lord and the law is the rudder of our ship. It is that which guides us. When we are converted, we have been given new life. We have been given new direction. Because we have been given the new direction, we understand that the Lord's commandments make us wiser than our enemies. And because it's always with me, we know that we can hold on to that. So, because the Lord's testimonies are true, His desire is to meditate upon them day and night. And He understands that by meditating upon the Lord's word, the insolent and rebellious around Him cannot stand before Him. The Lord is the one who has given Him a new mind and who walks with Him and talks with Him and provides all wisdom and encouragement. There is blessing and understanding with keeping the Lord's precepts, for in it is wisdom beyond comprehension. In those days, it was frowned upon if you were a young man and an older man. Excuse me. In those days, it was frowned upon for younger men to usurp authority in such a way as far as in teaching, and older men would be negative or critical about these young men and say, well, you don't really know anything. You're not even this age. But we see that the Lord is no respecter of men or age or anything like that. So because of that, I think it's a great reference to Timothy here, because the Lord said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, just talking about his age. So his desire is to keep his way, his feet on the narrow way, so that he may keep the Lord's word. Again, the reoccurring theme here is, I want to keep the Lord's word. I desire your law. I love your ways, O Lord. He has learned to walk a straight path because the rules are good and they are a blessing to him. Through the teaching and the discipleship, he has learned the Lord's ways are best. He is able to taste the words of the Lord, and they are sweet in his mouth. They are sweeter than honey, he says. Getting to a point where we trust in the Lord's word and we are able to trust in what he says he will do, this is a very, very sweet thing. We do not understand the goodness of the Lord, but every once in a while we get to understand and even taste how sweet he is, because his precepts have provided us understanding, and because of this, we hate every false way. That's the desire. So those who belong to the Lord desire the meat of the word. We do not desire to have our ears tickled, being tossed by every way of doctrine here and there. There is one way which leads unto life, and that is through Christ and through Christ alone. Now, verses 105 through 112, there's nothing like being on a path when the sun goes down and you're unable to see. Many of you have experienced this in different ways in your life, whether you're out walking at night or hiking or just wherever. But many of you understand the importance of a lighted path. Well, God's word says that God's word is a lamp unto our feet, so we may see our feet, and it is a light unto our path, that we may see where we're walking. A believer is one who has sworn by the Lord and has confirmed that they will keep his righteous rules, that they may walk according to his path, and that they will see through the lamp which he is the light of the world, so that we may walk according to his statutes. Every day we're afflicted, day and night, in season, out of season, right? Whatever it is, he cries to the Lord that the Lord would give him life according to the Lord's promises. We remember in John 1 that, let's see. In John 1, we see that Jesus is the light that came into the world, and the darkness has not overcome him. So, the richness of God through the way that he lights up our life, because God is light, through that richness, we are able to see our path, and we are able to see through the evil and through the difficulties of life, we're able to walk through those. Again, the wicked have led snares. They've laid snares for him and for us, and even for the believer. And the issue is, we continue to ask the Lord to help us that we would not fall into these snares, fall into the entrapments of the evil ones. So the Lord's testimonies are the dearest to us because of its lasting value. His testimonies are forever a heritage to us, and that is the joy of our hearts. Once we have been given a new heart, we now have an overabundance of joy, because the heart that he has given to us is his very own heart. So our desire is to listen from our heart in order that our heart may execute his statutes forever, that we would walk those things out, and that our hearts would always be mindful and desiring him and desiring to be a heart as God's heart, and that our heart would be forever changed and conformed to the image of his son. So, can't really get through the rest of this. I have a lot more stanzas to go, but I think that we understand the what the psalmist is saying here. When we run into trouble, we need to seek His, we need to always be in the Lord's Word. When we're not in trouble, we need to be in the Lord's Word. So remember something that we've gone over this morning. We talked about God's laws. We talked about His testimonies, His precepts, His statutes, His commandments, His judgment, His Word, and His ordinances. Do we love those things? Do we desire that those things would be more glorious in our lives? See, these are the things that a believer should desire to know more about, because these eight topics here give us a very good idea of who God is. Now there's more attributes in here that are fully God. But I just want to ask us today, is your desire to know God's Word more? If so, great. What are we doing about that? And again, it's not what we're doing, okay? But this is just a way. If we love the Lord Jesus and we love His church, we need to love His Word. And I'm sure we do. So be encouraged through that this morning. I just got a couple here verses here that are applicable. Just as something for us to think about. So, the Lord has given us His Word for all aspects of life. He's given us everything that we need in order to be changed. He's changed us in order for us to work out our salvation on a day-to-day basis. We need to be in His Word. So think of Joshua 1, 8, and 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then John 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then finally, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. Lord, we bless You for Your law. Lord, we bless You for Your precepts. Lord, we thank You for establishing those. Lord, we pray that You would increase our desire to know You more. And I pray that You would give us a desire to be in Your Word, that it would be something that would consume us, that we would want to know You more. Lord, I pray that You would continue to work in each person's heart this morning. And I pray that You would continue to work out their salvation, Lord, as You have promised. Lord, I pray that You would be an encourager, Your Word would encourage us, and that we, Lord, would truly desire to know You more, that we would love You more and honor You more. Lord, we pray that You would do these things in our lives. Help us in the sin of our life, Lord, to remove that. Help us to long to know You better, Lord. Help us to have a desire to love our brothers and sisters more so that it honors You. Lord, we pray. Change us in Jesus' name.